Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yesterday, we had some technical difficulties. Was hoping David Sanders was going to be able to break the news on Montana Talks that he's running for Montana Public Service Commission. But then I ended up seeing that same story in the Daily. Montana former director of agency announces PSC candidate Republican David Sanders is joining us here on Montana Talks. David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, David. I appreciate it.
Well, so you got the endorsement of current Montana Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, Jim Brown, which in my mind goes a long way. So I guess with that said, I guess give your pitch for why you're running and why people should support you.
Well, you're right, and I really appreciate how James Brown has stepped up and really, he's been my political mentor here in Montana and also my public service mentor. He's did a fantastic job as president of the PSC himself and now is doing a fantastic job as state auditor, and I'm honored to be working with him there while I'm also spending some time running for the PSC. The reason I'm running for the PSC, David, is pretty simple. I think the people of Montana have seen, really since James Brown and I left that agency, that the agency has been focused on things other than their primary mission. There's been a lot of squabbling and fighting among the commissioners, including my likely opponent, with other commissioners. And now I think we have a situation where we can, the PSC does some very, very important work, and that important work needs to be done by serious people. And I'm hoping that I can help come in there and restore some sense of order, sense of purpose, sense of mission to the agency, and get it focused on the things that it really needs to be focused on, which is providing fair and legally justifiable regulation to the monopoly utilities that agency regulates.
What would you say sort of sets you apart as a good candidate, and why people should vote for you for this position?
Well, I know the agency from the inside out. I was the executive director there, so I know the staff well. There is a really professional, intelligent, hardworking staff at that agency with some really specialized skills, and I have the utmost respect for them. I think they still have the utmost respect for me, and so I work very, very closely with a lot of them for a long time. And now I have the opportunity to come back as a commissioner, and I think as a commissioner, I can help build consensus among the commissioners, which just doesn't exist right now. There isn't.
We got 20 seconds left. Why don't you go ahead and throw out you got a campaign website, and where can people go to support you?
Well, actually, we're just building the campaign website right now, but if you'll look for it at Sanders for Montana PSC. And you'll be able to find me, and you can reach out to me.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're up against the break.
It's November 5th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Donut Day.
Donuts.
Whether you're a fan of jelly, glazed, chocolate frosted, or Boston cream, today is the day you can allow yourself to have an extra donut with your morning cup of coffee or for dessert after lunch. Make sure you keep an eye on what your local donut shop is doing to celebrate, as many of the national chains offer giveaways to customers so everyone can enjoy the sweet treat. And if you're at work, check your local break room. I bet there's a box in there right now. Also on this date, in 1935, game maker Parker Brothers launches the game that still has many of us fighting over who gets to be the top hat or wondering why the thimble was ever part of the now classic board game Monopoly. And in 2015, the Collins Dictionary names binge watch as the word of the year, followed close behind by the term transgender. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, everyone.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and Jake Eaton still here filling in for Aaron Flint. I'm having a couple of issues here with the audio, but we've got David Sanders running for PSC still on the line with us. David, did you have anything else you wanted our listeners to hear?
Yeah, thank you, David. And hi, Jake. I do want to say that that the Montana Public Service Commission, a lot of people don't understand what the agency really does. And the agency is tasked with regulating our monopoly regulated utilities, but it's not just, you know, about Northwestern Energy or Montana Dakota Utilities. It really goes beyond just the electrical sphere, although that's where a lot of the attention is paid, but it also provides safety regulation for our railroads. It provides a regulation of small water utilities and natural gas pipelines and storage. The agency really has some fairly far-flung responsibilities, and there's a very, very large number of dockets that the agency has to look at. And unfortunately, a lot of that work isn't getting done because of the infighting among the commissioners. And I think I can bring an end to that infighting, much of it, and bring consensus among the commissioners so we can focus on the work at hand. And part of that work is about making sure that Montana's regulated utilities can support a growing Montana economy and the prosperity that we all depend on for our families to grow and thrive.
Yeah, no, I think you're right that a lot of folks don't necessarily know what the PSC does, so appreciate you getting that information out there. From my perspective, Jake, just kind of as a Montanan reading the news, it always seems like there's some kind of controversy or drama up there at the PSC.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad that David is stepping up and running for this position because, I mean, this is, you know, now more important than ever, right? I mean, we're in the middle right now, just the very beginning phase, right? Northwestern Energy's announced this big merger with Black Hills. That's a very consequential thing for Montana. And, you know, we need people to actually understand the system, that are, you know, have the technical ability to look out for Montana ratepayers and not just Montana ratepayers. I mean, that's taxpayers, it's citizens, right? But also what the impacts of what this is going to have on the rest of the business community, on Montana's ability to grow. We got, you know, this data center stuff going on. All these things are greatly impacted by the Montana energy grid and our energy production. And so to have somebody like Dave step up and be willing to run for this position is fantastic. I mean, when we had Jim Brown in there, probably the most effective and efficient the commission has ever been in my involvement in politics.
I was talking to Jim Brown around. I was like, Jim Brown, I thought you had it fixed when you were there. And he was like, well, yeah, and I'm not there anymore.
Right, that was the problem, I think. And we just have too often the PSC has become a place for retired legislators who think 150,000 $15,000 a year salary sounds really good for a part-time job. And they treat it that way. You know, they show up at the meetings on whatever Tuesday, and then maybe they read the stuff before, but this isn't, these issues are so complicated and so technical and so complex that you really need somebody that's going to take it seriously and devote themselves. So thank you, David, for stepping up and running for the spot.
Yeah, David, David Sanders, candidate for PSC, go ahead. What's your reaction to what Jake Eaton was saying there?
Well, I think now after listening to Jake talk about it, I think Jake ought to also run for the commission and join me. Because he put his thumb right on it. That's exactly what needs to happen, is we need to have serious people focused on this for Montana's future. And if we don't do that, and if we let it just continue to be these little political fights and really almost a circus sideshow, we can't have that. We've got to have a Montana that's ready to grow and meet the challenges of a growing economy and a growing demand on our power grid and other utilities.
And David Sanders, I very much appreciate you coming on Montana Talks. I wish we could have had you on yesterday and could have broke the news here, but thank you so much for coming on. We got about a minute left. Any concluding remarks?
No, I'm just really grateful to you for having me on. Yeah, unfortunate about yesterday, but we had a great launch in Helena, had a fundraiser and a couple of news interviews, and so it's really been fantastic. Our launch. I'm really looking forward to talking to the people throughout the 5th District, from Kalispell to Great Falls to Missoula and Helena and all points in between. And that's where I'm going to be all this week and next, campaigning for this important position.
Fantastic, fantastic news. Jake, it's actually kind of been funny. It's been a little bit of like PSC day here, because we had the commissioner Brad Molnar in this morning talking about this stuff. He's going to try to get back on tomorrow. We've had David Sanders calling in. I put out the word, if any of the other PSC commissioners or candidates want to call in or get on the show, we'd be happy to have you. I don't know if Annie Bukacek or Jennifer Fielder or I guess Jeff Wellborn would be interested in coming on, but it's an open invite to all these PSC commissioners. But it's kind of weird we're talking so much about the PSC here.
It is. This is probably the most that anybody's talked about the PSC on the radio in the last 25 years.
That's right. Well, hey, we've got we're going to break here. And so we do have a couple of messages, one from Lori in Billings and one from Mike in Bozeman. We'll get to your messages right after this. David Noble, Jake Eaton filling in for Aaron Flint.
Sports update.
The Bulls win it. Can it turn back? Oh my goodness! Oh, Bulls Nation, they're for real. The cardiac Bulls do it again.
On Chicago Sports Network, a monumental comeback in the NBA Tuesday.
12 seconds left. Giddy on the inbound from Jones. It's Oubre on him. Carter sets up a screen. Giddy races to the basket. Fires it out.
Season. On Chicago Sports Network, Nikola Vucevic hit the go-ahead basket with 3 seconds left. The Bulls came all the way back from 24 points down against the 76ers, beat Philadelphia 113-111. Josh Giddey became the first Bulls player since Michael Jordan to record back-to-back triple-doubles. Giddey led Chicago with 29 points, 15 rebounds, and 12 assists. Chicago is 6-1. Philadelphia dropped to 5-2. Best start to a season for the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Randy champs are now 8-0 after last night's 126-107 win over the Clippers in Englewood. The New Orleans Pelicans picked up their first win of the season. The Pels are 1-6 after a 116-112 win against the Hornets. New Orleans said Zion Williamson will miss a week to 10 days with a grade 1 strain of his left hamstring. College basketball, number one ranked Purdue, opened the season with an 82-55 win over Evansville. Sixth ranked Duke beat Texas 75-60. Number nine Kentucky knocked off Nichols 77-51. 10th ranked Texas Tech beat Lindenwood 98-60. NFL trade deadline Tuesday, the Jets dealt two-time All-Pro cornerback Sauce Gardner to the Colts and three-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Quinnen Williams to the Cowboys. The Jets got back three first-round draft picks, one second-rounder, wide receiver Adonai Mitchell from Indianapolis, and defensive tackle Mazi Smith from Dallas. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
First month.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I think we can all agree that our nation is at a turning point. No matter where you sit on the big issues of the day, our nation is at a turning point. But maybe you are looking for a personal turning point in your life as well. You want to eat less. You want to drink less. Whatever it may be. Let me tell you about Billings Last Diet. This isn't just a program that makes you look better for a vacation during spring break. This isn't just a program that gets you skinny for that wedding photo or the 20-year reunion. This program is life-changing. This program will lead to a turning point in your personal life. Not only will you lose the weight, but it's about being around for your kids and your grandkids. It's about being healthy. I'll tell you what, Billings Last Diet, we've got listeners who've lost over 100 pounds. I lost over 33 pounds in 3 months, and people have lost weight even faster. BillingsLastDiet.com or call them right now, 406-294-6751.
All right, David Noble and Jake Eaton, we're back live here on the radio taking your messages and phone calls. Got one here from Lori in Billings, got one from Mike in Bozeman. Lori writes in, says, in reference to my earlier comment regarding socialists running in Missoula, three of the four were defeated. Thankfully, thank you for that, Lori in Billings. You're right, I read that same thing. I read the same exact thing when I was looking at it. I saw that they had, the Democratic Socialists had put up, three or four candidates there in Missoula. The fact that one of them won is disappointing. Three of them defeated. That's good news. Jake, we were talking about how we even had some of these Democrat Socialist candidates, here in Billings. And my comment was sort of, I think they're doing the smart thing. They're focused on the city council. In fact, when AOC and Bernie Sanders were here in Missoula, AOC even said it at the in Missoula, like, we're focused on city council candidates, and there they're doing it. And they're getting them into positions.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where you got to start, right? Everything starts at the local level a lot of times, and so they're good to do that. In Montana, I mean, frankly, they need all the help they can get. Over the course of the last three election cycles, fortunately, we've just kind of decimated all of the would-be and could-be up-and-coming stars of the Montana Democrat Party have just been crushed. And, thankfully for us, I guess it's the Democrat Socialists that are focused on rebuilding the party and not the actual Democrats, because they just kind of seem to have given up.
And that kind of dovetails into this comment from Mike in Bozeman. Mike says, Republicans need to do a better job with their messaging. A good majority of people voting Democrat are people who are really hurting financially and voting for free stuff. They don't realize that free stuff is making them even poorer in the form of higher rent and increased inflation. I agree with that comment.
I think that's they don't get that, because that's the way the Democrats want it, right? And there's a reason we don't teach, basic personal finance and economics in K-12 schools most of the time, right? And we focus on other things because that's the way the left wants it, and that's, they kind of control that education system and the curriculum system, and that's the way they've built it out over the course of the last 40 years, because it makes it easier for people to get what they want. But you look back, and it's not that long ago, the most famous, Democrat speech of all time, and John F. Kennedy saying, ask not what you can do for your country or what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I mean, just the modern left is just such an anathema to that these days. Right now it's, country be damned, the long-term consequences are inconsequential. Give me what I want right now. And, give me my Obamacare health insurance subsidy. Give me my, SNAP benefits, my subsidized rent or my rent control or, you know, what you pick the item du jour, whatever it may be. Versus, you know, you go back to the conservatives of the same era, you know, the Goldwaters, the early Reagan era, you know, that message hasn't changed, right? It's stood the test of time, you know, and it's smaller government, it's lower taxes, it's more individual freedom, you know, and I think, you know, we've just kind of seen that play out over the course of the last 60 years.
I've always said, I think the conservatives and the Republicans have a much harder job of convincing people to vote for conservative beliefs and philosophy because there's more thinking involved. There's more. So, for example, I mean, here's a perfect example. Yeah. Okay, they the Mamdanis, the AOCs, the Bernies, they come in and say, "Hey, we're going to give you free stuff, whether it's free health care, free food, free housing," and so that's one step. And somebody can hear that and say, "Hey, okay, you're going to give me free stuff paid for by my neighbor, right?" And set aside how immoral and disgusting that is to vote for a politician because that politician is going to have the law, IRS law enforcement go to your neighbor's house with a gun pointed at him and say, "Hey, give me your money." And then you want a piece of your neighbor's money. Setting aside how just revolting that is to want the government to take your neighbor's money and give it to you. But okay, so then the Republicans, they come in and say, "Hey, no, don't vote for the Democrats and giving you free stuff, because if they give you the free stuff, that's going to cause inflation, and the inflation is going to hurt you more than the benefit from getting free stuff. So you may get $1,000 of free stuff, but if that causes $10,000 of inflation, you're worse off." See, now you're two steps into it. That's a harder argument to make to people.
Yeah, free stuff is a way easier bumper sticker campaign, right? And in this, you know, TikTok era of America, right, and Facebook Reels and, you know, 280 characters on Twitter, you know, to have to go into an explanation of the economics of why free stuff is a bad idea, boy, that's going to get people hard to get people to engage with, you know, it does make it difficult. It also makes it difficult because it feels like you're asking them to speak against, you know, vote against their own self-interest. If I vote for the Democrat, I can get free stuff today. And like you said, maybe I get, you know, $2,000 a month worth of health care subsidy. If I vote for President Trump and the Republicans, I don't get, you know, taxes on my tips and my overtime, but maybe that really only saves me $2,000 a year. And so it's easier to vote for, you know, that free stuff than the opportunity that conservative policies represent. You know, it's, I'd rather settle for the guarantee than bet on myself and take the opportunity kind of philosophy.
Hey, well, I'm not gonna have Jake Eaton on Montana Talks without asking some questions like this one, which is more open-ended and more sort of where you may have some knowledge and expertise that a lot of our listeners do. But I guess give us where do you think sort of the Montana Republican Party is headed over the next couple of years, both with some of the statewide races, some of these PSC races, the legislature, local and county stuff, just kind of big picture. What do you kind of see? What are some big issues you see that are going to be debated amongst Republicans? Any races that you think are going to be interesting going forward? Kind of any big picture stuff like that?
I mean, well, I'm a political junkie, so I think every race is interesting. But I, you know, I'd start with in terms of issues. We've got to fix this property tax thing for real. And you know what Lou Jones and the Democrats teamed up to do this time was not a real fix, as we talked about earlier. Just kind of shifting things around. there's a lot of possible solutions to that issue. But we've got to fix that for real. We've got to get it under control. And probably the first thing we got to do is get away from this 2-year reappraisal cycle. We've got to have, you know, some limits on locals' taxation authority and those kind of things to make the system a little bit more stable, equitable across the state as well. You know, another, I think, big issue that's going to be, you know, persistent is how do we deal with Medicaid expansion moving forward? You know, what are the impacts of the One Big Beautiful Bill and the reductions in Medicaid expansion reimbursements and those things going to have on the Montana budget. You know, we've created a system here that started, frankly, with Lou Jones and Steve Bullock, where we now have, you know, almost 100,000 people in Montana on Medicaid expansion. And that's not really what it was intended to be, right? It's supposed to be a safety net, an expansion of the safety net, not just the default. And when you've got 10% of the population that now qualifies for some form, some level of subsidy, we probably are subsidizing a little too much. But we also have to address that root cause issue, which is, you know, we've got to build an infrastructure and a taxation system that allows for real high-wage jobs in Montana. And for too long, you know, I mean, you look, I mean, the Billings people are a perfect example. You know, you got these guys at the Billings Chamber of Commerce. It's like, hey, you know, we should use a bunch of taxpayer money to subsidize advertising for the tourist industry. Well, guess what? Those jobs are nice to have, right? But those are probably, you know, temporary or transitory type jobs, right? You're probably not going to build a long-term career as a house cleaner at a hotel and raise a family, but it might be something that you do for a while. So we kind of need to shift that mindset. And you see this from the left a lot. You know, they really want to push the outdoor economy and all this. Well, the reality is, that's not really sustainable unless you just want a population of people making $15 and $20 an hour. And
right, other than the business owners that own those.
Yeah,
and
right.
And that's great if you're a business owner that owns a tourist industry. But, yeah, the tourist industry jobs are usually not highest paying jobs.
Right, and what that's going to lead to, right, is, I mean, you know, more people from, you know, whether it's individuals or corporations or private equity firms, you know, buying up more tourist industry capacity in Montana. So, you know, to put kind of all of our eggs in that one basket seems silly. We've got to do some more to kind of broaden out the opportunities inside that economy.
Love it. Makes sense to me. Lots more to talk about here with Jake Eaton on Montana Talks. We're taking messages and phone calls, 406-294-0970. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. You can even find Jake Eaton online. We'll get his one out there right after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and Jake Eaton filling again. I'm getting a little bit of feedback on myself. There, it's fixed. Thank you so much from the producer. By the way, you can find Jake Eaton on X at MT Jake Eaton. Is that right?
That is correct.
And find me at LCTRFAN. We were talking about some of these persistent issues that are continually coming up in Montana politics. One of them was the property taxes. I was shocked to see from the Missoulian that even Missoula rejected a bond levy for, I think, roads and bridges or trails or something like that. And when you even have Missoula voting no on levies and property tax increases, you know that people are feeling it.
Absolutely. And everybody hits their tipping point, right? And apparently Missoula is just 3 years behind everybody else or something, I guess. But, you know, this is one of those things that we got to get a handle on. And like I said, it probably starts with the local level and some of the things that are happening, you know, inside of these cities and county budgets that, frankly, nobody pays attention to, right? The kind of the sad reality of our system is the closer the government is to you, the less you know about it, right? Probably everybody out there can, listening to this show, certainly can name, you know, their congressman and both of their senators and probably a lot of the other statewide elected officials. But I doubt 1 in 10 could tell you who their school board representative is or who their city council person is or name all of their county's county commissioners. And that's just, you know, kind of the way it goes. We tend to get focused on, you know, the national issues or the big statewide issues, and those other races, you know, tend to go a little bit under the radar, which is, I think, one of the reasons, you know, as a legislator from Billings, I can't remember which one off the top of my head, had a great bill last session that came really close to consolidate all of the elections, put everything and everybody on the ballot at one time. And, you know, I think the argument against that is, oh, well, it get outshined by, you know, the U.S. Senate race or the presidential race. But the reality is it'll actually bring more attention to those issues and to those races because those big races pull people into politics. And you just look at the difference in voter turnout right now in November of 2025 versus what it was in November of 2024. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of people that cast a vote 1 year ago that did not do so yesterday.
And yet Democrats are always the ones that are saying that they want more people to vote. And so what that raises a red flag for me. If you Democrats are out there saying you want more people to vote and then the Republicans have a proposal to combine these elections, I mean, having elections in May, in off years in November, I mean, none of this makes any sense other than apparently it must benefit the Democrats because otherwise why are they opposed to combining them all?
Yeah, the notion that they want more people to vote is silly. They want more of their people to vote. They don't actually want more people to vote. And it's why they oppose things that bring honesty and transparency to elections. You know, the perfect example in this last legislative session, there was a proposal that I'm a huge fan of to make judicial races in Montana partisan. And not just to make them partisan, but to give candidates the opportunity to choose, if they so choose, a partisan label. So you could still run as a nonpartisan judge candidate. I'll tell you this, you know this, you're an attorney. There's no such thing as a nonpartisan judge, especially in Montana. You know, the reality is less than 1% of Montanans have ever made a political contribution to either party. But somehow, our district court judges have a plurality of Democrat donors, but we're supposed to believe, and many of them served in partisan positions, right? They were elected to other offices under a partisan banner, but we're supposed to believe that as soon as they got elected or decided, not even elected, but decided to run for a judge, that they became nonpartisan. They just left all of those, that ideology and that perspective behind. And the same thing is true for Republicans, right? Because we have, you know, the same is true on Republican side as well. It's just silly, right? And it's intellectually dishonest. So there was a proposal that said, hey, you know, candidate wants to put an R behind his name when he's running for a Supreme Court or district court judge, he can do that. Or Democrat, whatever. And every single Democrat in the legislature voted against that because they know the only way they are able to have success in these judicial races is by avoiding that partisan label. And to some extent, the same thing is true in these local elections that everybody wants to be nonpartisan. If this race...
I mean, how could you honestly say that the school board positions and the city council positions are nonpartisan when they're dealing with taxing and spending issues? That's the core of what a partisan political issue is.
Absolutely. And I mean, this mayor's race is perfect example, right? So Jennifer Owen is, you know, for those in political circles, a very well-known Republican. Mike Nelson is a very well-known Democrat. Had those two people appeared on the ballot with a R and a D next to their name, my guess is you would see a much different result than what we have now, which is a race that's within 185 votes. And we see that same thing, you know, kind of across the board over and over again. And the reason that the left and the Democrats oppose all these things is they know that it would be a hindrance to them. They know it's to their advantage to be able to hide and shield the actual true philosophy from the voters. And so they can just come out and say nice things like, you know, Amy Eddy, who is a longtime Democrat donor, you know, donated tens of thousands of dollars to dozens of Democrat candidates and causes, who's got appointed to the bench by Steve Bullock, running for Supreme Court now. It's like, oh, well, I, you know, just want, you know, integrity and honesty and, you know, just blind application of the law. And the reason that they can be successful is because they're able to just say things like that and not ever have to be, you know, held accountable for that true philosophical beliefs that they do have, which they do have, right?
Like,
they're not just some ChatGPT blank canvas robot, you know, interpreting the law. Like, their worldview impacts their perspective and how they're ruling.
Yeah, and I do think it would be a good idea to be more honest about that from the judiciary's perspective, because the reality is the one of the roles of judging, and especially, you know, judging, okay, you got two witnesses, which one's lying? Or somebody's got to be sentenced, you know, how long are you to sentence them? All of those things bring into play your personal experiences, your personal beliefs, and those are important, and people ought to know those when they vote for you on the bench, and your political beliefs. I mean, for example, me, I would have no problem, you know, being a Republican candidate for a judicial seat, but that's because the what Republicans believe is that judges should do their best to set aside their personal political beliefs when making decisions. Now, the Democrats don't believe that. That's why they don't want to identify as Democrats, right? Because the Democrat Party line is actually, no, judges need to be using their power to push leftism, to you know, fix all of history's racial wrongs, things like that.
Right. The Constitution is a living document, and it can be interpreted in many different ways, you know, depending on, you know, the phase of the moon and how the sun is setting and all of those things, right? And that's really the fundamental problem is, on every issue, the left's refusal to be intellectually honest with people about their positions and the consequences of their positions, you know.
It's like Zohran Mamdani running for mayor of New York. He's out there. He refuses to condemn the phrase globalize the infatada, which is literally a call to murder all Jews worldwide. But then he says, oh, I'm not an anti-Semite. And then his tax proposal was to tax white neighborhoods. And then when he's called, isn't that racist? You want to tax white? Oh, no, well, I'm just doing it based on the income levels. It's like, come on, please be honest at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's probably, hundreds if not thousands of these type of examples that you say. And the thing that has always entertains me to no end is just like the blatant hypocrisy constantly of the left. And it's just, I mean, never ceases to be entertaining, which is, I guess, one of the reasons I keep getting sucked back into all these political races.
Jesse in Deer Lodge sent us a message. Jesse in Deer Lodge, thank you so much for writing in. He says, it's not just the left pushing the easy wins in the job sector. We see it across the board with prioritization of positive metrics in Helena over true results, calling a dealership a factory, claiming an Amazon warehouse is a $100 million investment instead of a $10 million number. Look at Jacobs pushing new company numbers. All right, Jesse, bringing us a little bit of bipartisan criticism there.
That is, I guess that's Jesse Mullen down there. He's a good guy, owns a bunch of newspapers down there.
He is a good guy. He's one of the only sane, he looks to be a sane Democrat sort of thing.
No, absolutely. I mean, he's kind of got, like, he's like the Fetterman of the Montana Democrat
Who
Party.
Who would have ever thought that John Fetterman would
the only voice of reason. And I think that's kind of where Jesse is, too. And, unfortunately for him, they've rejected him for it, just like Fetterman, you know, instead of saying, hey, you know what, maybe this guy's onto something. Maybe we ought to listen to him. They're like, beat it, nerd. Get out of here. You know, we don't want to hear that.
Sad reality in the Democrat Party today. Jesse, thanks for the message. More with David Noble and Jake Eaton after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Yeah, of course, you don't need an ID in New York. And Musk added that, you know, Mamdani's on the ballot twice, maybe can win twice too. I mean, it's just typical dumb lack of election integrity. And as we, you know, start this day off, I would be negligent if I didn't say we've got to fix this. Republicans now have got to make this a priority. I mean, and it's not hard. Now, both parties have bitterly complained about election results. Hillary Clinton is one. Stacey Abrams is two. President Trump can be number three. Okay, there, I'm being fair. But we don't have election integrity, which is the problem. The measures to put in place are not complicated.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
We are seeing something really disturbing. Anti-Semitism on the rise. College campuses, halls of Congress, punditry world. Around the world, sadly, right here in America, you know, Jewish schools are being targeted, synagogues threatened. It was a tourist in Midtown Manhattan beaten and attacked in broad daylight. Why? Because he was Jewish. Okay, never again is right now. And I don't know what part of hundreds of thousands of missiles fired into Israel. Israelis murdered on October 7th. Murder, kidnapping, torture, rape, beheading that some people don't understand. What would you want Americans to do? What would you expect your government to do if we were attacked this way? The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're on the front lines. They're providing all the humanitarian assistance to Jewish families under threat, and they're helping people rebuild their lives. Your gift, whatever you can give, and your support is life-saving work. Please donate generously, 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-IFCJ, or ifcj.org.
Fox Rocks. I'm Michelle Pulino. Jimmy Eat World is releasing a new EP, Something's Loud, November 14th, featuring a mix of digital-only singles and a new track called Failure. Recorded during sessions for the band's 2019 album, Surviving, Failure arrives with a skateboarding-themed video. The EP also includes Something Loud in both original and acoustic versions, and a cover of Crooked Fingers' Call to Love, featuring Best Coast's Bethany Cosentino. The band also promised more big plans in the new year. Mumford & Sons have confirmed their second album in less than a year, Prize Fighter, will arrive February 13th. The news comes less than a week after unveiling a new surprise single, Rubber Band Man, featuring Hozier, that was produced by the Nationals' Aaron Dessner, who previously worked with the band on their 2015 album, Wilder Mind. The new album also includes collaborations with Chris Stapleton and Gracie Abrams. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it's David Noble and Jake Eaton here still filling in. We've got a guest on the line. Let me turn on the PC audio right there. All right, we got Lex Riley talking about a new film, Peace Wilderness Man, the Australian Viking. Lex, tell us a little bit more about this.
G'day. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you.
Cool. So Peace Wilderness Man is a documentary that, well, I didn't come up with the idea. I moved to the Arctic 4 years ago to basically reset my life at the edge of the planet. And the documentary was made by an Australian who knew me and knew my story. And he flew out to the Arctic to do that. But it's basically about how I've turned my life around after some significant issues I had with PTSD after Afghanistan, and how I've cultivated inner peace by relating with nature.
That's fantastic. And it looks like we're going to have a showing here in Montana Thursday, November 6th, which is tomorrow, 6 to 9 p.m., American Legion Post number 14. And tell us a little bit more about the screen that's coming up.
Yeah, so we're doing five screenings in the total in Montana. I've teamed up with Impact Montana, and the first one is at Bozeman tomorrow evening.
That's fantastic. And where, if people are interested in, then they get tickets, or do they just show up tomorrow evening in Bozeman, or is there a website they can go to? Or?
Yeah, so the Facebook for Impact Montana has the event links. We would like people to book before. The price is $25, but it's worth about $80. Impact Montana has subsidized the event, so it's more affordable. But we can take people on the door.
And it says this is going to include bison, chili, and cornbread, connection and inspiration. This says a vet's story of trauma to triumph with Lex Riley. And we've got Lex Riley right here. Give us a little preview on the trauma to triumph story, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so I openly talk about some key childhood traumas I had, which I left undealt with, right? And then I went into the military. And I deployed to Afghanistan in 2010, and that was super confronting. And that really wiped me out, to be honest. I came back and I couldn't sleep properly at night. I was actually scared of things that didn't make sense, and I didn't know who to talk to about that. And I ended up imploding with addiction. And I was like, I was domestically violent. It's not an enjoyable thing to say or to look at, but I accept responsibility for that. I was domestically violent, and that was a part of my marriage falling apart and me losing access to my children. And then that was a massive emptiness for me to sit in and realize, like, how did I get here? Where do I need to take responsibility? How can I stop hating myself every day? Because I hated myself for years, and I just tried to use willpower to change. And I went on a search and rescue mission for myself in the New Zealand Alps in winter, and I just didn't want to see anyone because I didn't feel safe with anyone around. So I just went to places that no one else would be, and I felt a bit of hope. I felt something spiritual there as well. And then I kind of started pulling on that thread and worked on my healing.
Well, Lex, we're up against a commercial break here. Thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. We just had a mayoral candidate on yesterday talking about Montana's domestic violence problem. So sounds like your story could be benefit to a lot of folks. Tomorrow, November 6th, 6 p.m., Bozeman, American Legion Post 14.
I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand?
You hold my hand!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait. Attention on the road, that's the only way. Phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.